last and definitely least, the UFC has released the images of the cage match that will be held on the White House lawn on for Trump's 80th birthday and for the 250th birthday of the United States.
You're serious? They have a cage match.
Totally serious.
The White House lawn.
Yes, there will be a cage match on the White House lawn. It's an official UFC, you know, very classy, very highly dignified octagonal cage. They've already begun construction. It's right on the White House lawn. It's like right up against the White House. NJT, I think I'm probably going to be the first to tell you that there will also be, and this is true, a very classy, highly dignified IndyCar street circuit racing past the Washington Monument, U.S. Capitol, and other D.C. landmarks to celebrate America's 250th emancipation from Great Britain.
You know what? It's fitting. I'm okay with that. It's fitting. I accept that. Like, I mean, that's so ridiculous. Like, when, do you remember when they were having, I think we were at the radio station at the time, at least I think you were,
yeah,
where they were having like this LGBT parade in front of the White House. And you had people who were like naked, women showing their tits and whatnot. Yeah. And people were like, oh, that's so undignified to be in front of the White House. They're like, oh, this is so horrible. I can't believe why people are doing this. And why is nudity associated with the LGBTQ community? And that's a question I had too. And at the time I was like, yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm conflicted. You know what? I don't care.
Well,
just be free, right?
Lack of dignity seems to be like, you know, something that the left and the right can agree on in this country. Dignity's not really our thing, right?
But it should, like, it should be dignity in the White House. I mean, like, is dignity required for people to at the very least give, like, let me ask you, I'll just ask the question. Should the president be a dignified entity in regards to our politics? I think that answer is yes.
And I think that's one of the things Obama brought to the table.
Yes. You may hate him, like, meaning people may dislike him, but dignified, yes. Presidential, mm-hmm. yes. Did he mm-hmm. look like, you know, he played the role? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a positive. Like, yes. You want the president to be a figure that people, all things being equal, look up to as a dignified representative of the U.S. government, because he's the figurehead of that government.
Correct.
And when you look at the story, that God, man, the story annoys me. When you look at, I don't know if you saw the tweet that Trump put out yesterday, where he was talking about if Iran puts his hands up and comes out, and if the fake CNN and the China network, which is the Wall Street Journal, and blah, blah, blah. And you read it and you think to yourself, this guy is the literal representative of America to the world. I feel that way about having man on man, what often looks like man love, when they're on each other and they're like, look like an angry sex fight or something like that. It was like, ugh. When you get that on the White House lawn and you're calling this dignified, nonsense. It's nonsense.
I'm joking about the dignified thing. He never said that.
I know you are, but you're making a point. What do you say?
Yeah, it's like when I remember seeing the split screen of Tony Blair with George W. Bush giving, you know, when they were involved in their joint project to decimate Iraq. Mm-hmm. And you know, I for the record, I think New Labour is an abomination and I hate Tony Blair. But
agreed.
You know, but you look at the two of them side by side and it's like, come on, who's the more articulate leader? Who looks better? Who looks like they're running a proper country? And I mean, we have that. It's like, you know, you would see that. I mean, you know, when Putin, oh my God, when Putin met Trump in Alaska, holy shit. I mean, that screen, the difference couldn't be starker. I mean, right. You know, again, do it, you know, think what you want about Vladimir Putin. I wouldn't vote for him. You know, he's way too conservative for me. But if I were Russian, but I get the appeal. And like, no one can say he's not like, you know, properly representing his country and right. You know, and you know, he plays the role properly. This is just, yeah, I mean, it's weird. And, you know, I want to, maybe we should talk about that later, or we could talk about it now, whatever. I mean, I was thinking of writing a column like next week about like, so I'm old enough to remember the bicentennial celebration. I was a kid in 1776. I was 13 years old. And, you know, it was a big deal. There was a lot of celebrating leading up to it. There was the tall ships came into New York Harbor. There's just a lot going on. And that this year just doesn't seem the same thing. The 250 should be as big a deal. We know from history that the 1926 celebrations held under Calvin Coolidge for the 150th were a big deal. You know, and the election of 1876 for the 100th was a fucking catastrophe. But like, basically, there's, you know, I mean, you just think that this would be a big deal. And this is sort of like sneaking up on us. It's only in, you know, in 2 months and, you know, less than that. And nobody seems to really much care. And I just wonder what that says. I mean, I think I know partly what it says, but I'd like to know completely what it says about the state of the nation.
Have you ever read God Emperor Doom?
No.
Like the series by Frank Herbert?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so he used to make the God Emperor Doom. He was the worm god, but they called him God Emperor. He had been alive for like thousands of years, and he has the memories of all of the generations of people going back even to like other planets and stuff like that. So basically, he's has prescience in regards to future and past, and he makes the point of saying governments require a religion to be built into it also for it to work. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why he points that out is if you look at our country, when you first start off, you start off with this revolutionary verve. All countries, South Africa, the ANC is a really good example. They started with this revolutionary verve. And fast forward to 30 years, and now they're voting in the same people that were running the apartheid state. So meaning they're this unity government that they've created. Okay, well, what happened? The revolutionary verve dies off with the generations, meaning the more and further you go from generations to generations, what initiated and this kind of energy that you had when you first started the revolution or whatever, and everybody has this belief in the unity of the government, and this is a new project, and we believe in it, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, what happens 250 years later? Well, these people are cynical, and they're just in it to figure out what they can get out of it. And from standpoint of coming up with this fiction of America, and all countries are fictions of sorts, but it's a fiction that allows 320 million people to effectively come together and said, we believe in this fiction. And again, I say all countries are fiction. So I'm not, this is not the principle of it.
Sure.
But our faculty in believing in mythical things is the thing that allows us to come together, because otherwise 320 million people are not coming together. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the way, that united message broke down, or what that message means broke down, is different to everybody. I don't know if that's an internet thing. I don't know if that's this kind of breaking of compartmentalization where each person can be in their own bubble and have an idea of America, but neither of these ideas meet. I don't know what it is, but I agree with you. This should be momentous. It should be every bit as big as Russia celebrating the victory over the Nazis. It should be huge.
It should be a quarter of the millennium is a big deal.
It's a feat.